Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd of the Allen Ford Baptist Church in Madisonville, Kentucky, and I'd like to welcome you to another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. This broadcast is for Wednesday, September 23rd, and today is the final day of the Jubilee at Vision Baptist Church in Millers Creek, North Carolina. Hope you'll stay tuned as we air that live tonight here on WSWF, and pray for us as we'll be traveling back to Kentucky later on this week, and we're here in North Carolina at this time. Well, I do have a couple of good songs queued up right here, ready to go, and then the message from the Word of God. I trust these songs will be a blessing. First of all, we've got the Moore family singing a cappella, "I Sing the Almighty Power of God," and then the Shepherd family. All right. As you know, we've been looking this week at Matthew chapter number 5 and verse number 6. We're focusing primarily on verse number 6. And we're looking at the beatitude we call spiritual panting, and that is those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. And I've been preaching this week primarily on developing a desire, and we're going to finish that message on today's broadcast. So as you listen to the message, there'll be some repeat of the former day's message and then some new message carried in, and we're going to complete that message on today's broadcast as it was preached live in the auditorium of the Allen Ford Baptist Church in Madisonville, Kentucky. Matthew chapter 5. I want to look at verse 6 again this morning. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. There ought to be a hunger developed, and there's ways to develop a hunger and a thirst after God. Amen. What could be done to cause us to have a better spiritual appetite? I believe there's four simple things that I want to point out that I hope will stoke the fire of your soul and turn your heart towards God and towards the things of God that might help us to see. First of all, I believe the worship of God is important. We'll never do much, never accomplish much for God out of just a simple sense of duty. But when we see God as the good God that He is, it ought to spur in us a little notion of worship. It's worshiping God sparks a fire that burns and yearns to please God. That drives us to holiness. Amen. You know why? Because worship stirs us towards God and causes us to want Him and long for Him even more. Amen. This event of communion with God through the Holy Ghost causes us to love Him more and causes us to strive for holiness and active service more than we have in the past. Amen. Not only worship, but number two, the Word of God stirs our hunger for God. The Bible promotes holiness and purity. Amen. They say that D.L. Moody said this. He said, "That book, sir, will keep you from sin, and sin will keep you from that book." I say, amen, Mr. Moody. John Butler said it this way. I like the way he said it. He said, quote, "Getting into the Word of God is like hanging around the kitchen when good food is cooking. It inspires an appetite." That's a good quote. The Word of God will increase that hunger. The worship of God will increase that hunger. Number three, the work of God will increase that hunger. Just as physical exertion produces a desire for the body to ingest more food, I believe likewise when we do something for God, it causes our soul to long for more of God. Some spiritual exercise, whether it be witnessing or praying or praising or preaching, some spiritual exercise that we do produces and exerts spiritual energies. Therefore, I believe it causes our soul to hunger and thirst to be refueled. Amen. Physical labor. The harder it is, the more strenuous it is, the more appetite for food, because you're burning those calories and you're burning up that and you're needing that. I'm going to tell you, when we face conflict in the spiritual realm, it is good for us because it can help us develop a spiritual appetite. Amen. We'll find ourselves wanting to pray more. Amen. Wanting to see what God said, paying more attention. You'd be amazed how voracious your spiritual appetite can be when you face a few problems
working for God. Amen. And my last point is watching for God. Worshiping God, the Word of God, working for God, and watching for God. Now, I said this is my last point. Don't breathe too heavy a sigh of relief. I got three thoughts under this point. I want to think on precaution under the word watching, precaution. I want to think of prayer, and I want to think of prophecy or prediction in this word of watching. First of all, watching in precaution. Some people say this. They say, watch what you eat. Watch what you eat. And then they say, for you are what you eat. You know what they're saying? You need to be a little discerning. You need to have a little discrimination. I know that's a bad word in our society today, but it's still, you need to have a little discrimination in what you eat. Don't eat just any old thing. Because some things are not good for you. Amen. That's what it's saying. Some things are not good for you. Be careful what type foods you put into your body. Because the right foods will produce a beneficial effect and the wrong foods can produce a detrimental effect. Amen. Brother Bell and them's on that blood type diet. And they tell you, and I know others are, and they tell you that based on your blood type, some things don't agree with you. My wife loves lima beans. Her and her dad love lima beans. But she told me the other day, she said, I'm going to lay off. I might eat them once in a while, but I'm going to lay off them. It's not in her blood type, but she's noticed when she eats them, it makes her feel blah. I hadn't found anything that makes me feel that way. But I got a different blood type, praise God. Amen. But, but seriously, there's some things that's good for you, some things that's not so good for you. And so physically speaking, they say, watch what you eat. Then there's another group called Weight Watchers. This Weight Watchers is the idea, and they subscribe to a dietary plan that's crafted and marketed to control a person's weight based on the kinds of food they eat, how much of it they eat, and that sort of thing. Well, we can apply that both to the spiritual as well as the physical realm. We do need to be careful what we eat. We do know that when a person loads up on carbohydrates and fats or sugars and starches, they're prone to eat more and to gain weight. Amen. It just is natural. It's true. Good eating habits promote good health. Poor eating habits hinder the health of our body. But that's also true in the spiritual realm. Consuming sinful things hinders our spiritual growth, hurts our testimony, amen, hurts the health of our soul, while ingesting good spiritual foods, good eating habits, I'm talking about spiritually, will help our spiritual growth, make us spiritually strong and spiritually fit, amen. If we fill our minds with gossip, fill our minds with sports, fill our minds with fantasy and movies and novels and sin, we'll find out our heart does not have the appetite that it ought to have for the things of God. Amen. F.B. Meyer said this about this subject. He said, quote, sensational novels, frivolous talk, indulgence in appetite and senses quickly incapacitate us for enjoying God. Amen. If all we got on our mind is the world, we cannot enjoy God. David Martin Lloyd Jones said this. He said, I suggest that if we are truly hungering and thirsting after righteousness, we shall not only avoid things that we know to be bad and harmful, we should even avoid things that tend to dull or to take the edge off of our spiritual appetite. I say amen to Mr. Lloyd Jones on that. What he was saying is this. It may not be sinful, but it might just be a weight which so easily besets us. Amen. There's some things that may not be wrong. I'm talking about just right out say that's wrong, but it don't help us towards God. It hurts us, hinders us. And again, it may be something for you personally. Because of your bent and your the way that your mind works and the way your heart runs after certain things. Amen. Amen. I mentioned sports when I was, Melissa and I was first married, I was into sports. My I loved college basketball, professional football, and especially Major League Baseball. Those things, I couldn't control them. I could have, but I didn't control them. God called me to preach. I was trying to live for God. And yet I was still so wrapped up in those things. And I'm not fussing at you if you're wrapped up in it other than to say, God made me cold turkey it. God made me get away from it. Forget about it. Amen. I had to. And it's not that I think that watching a ball game would be sinful today, but I know that in my bent, I'd get caught back up in it again, and I'd want to keep up with the team and all that, and I don't have the mind left to do that. I need to put good things in my mind, because I've only got a limited space, a brain space. Don't nobody say amen, but that's still right. Well, watching in precaution. Secondly, there's watching in prayer. Now, I believe that's the most common application of the word watch. We find it very often in the Bible, watching and prayer tied together. Just look with me. If you're in Matthew 5, turn over to Matthew 26, verse 38. Our Lord links these words together. Matthew 26, 38. Thus saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. Jump down to verse 40. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter, what? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Over in Mark chapter 14, you don't have to turn there, verse 38, he says the same things. Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. This idea of watching in prayer, that'll help us in our spiritual appetite. The more we pray, the more we'll long for God. There's a hymn that's popular in a lot of our churches. It's in the church hymnal, it's in our hymnal as well. Written in 1858 by George Duffield Jr., entitled, stand up for Jesus. The second verse, here's what it says. Stand up for Jesus. Stand in His strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor, and here's my phrase, and watching unto prayer, where duty calls or danger, be never wanting there. Amen. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Watch in precaution and watch in prayer. And then lastly, watch in prediction. And that involves the fact we know the Lord's coming. And we should be watching for His coming. Watching involves purifying ourselves. Again, Matthew 24, if you want to look there, we were in 26, go back to 24. Matthew 24 deals with prophecy. Our Lord speaking. Verse number 42, Matthew 24, verse 42. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. If your daddy gave you a job to do while he was gone, sometimes you wasn't as diligent as you should be, but you tried to keep a watch on him coming back because you knew if he came back and the job wasn't done, you was going to be in trouble. Amen. So you kept a watch. That's what our Lord's saying. He's left us a job to do while he's gone, and he's saying you need to be careful of what you're doing, and that'll develop a spiritual hunger and a spiritual appetite. Look at Matthew chapter 25, verse 13. Again, our Lord speaking, verse 13, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. Turn to Mark chapter 13, Mark 13, 32. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, look here, watch and pray. For you know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work and commanded the porter to watch. Watch therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or at midnight or at the cock crowing or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Our Lord saying as a precaution. Our Lord saying as in prayer. And our Lord saying because of the prediction, we ought to be watching for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that ought to encourage us in the things of God. One last one. 1 John chapter 3. We've looked at this on Wednesday night. 1 John chapter 3. Verses 2 and 3. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Look at verse 3. This is the important one. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. You know what he's saying? If you want your spiritual appetite to be encouraged, get to thinking about the fact that Jesus is coming back. Get to meditating on the fact that he's left us with a job to do, and he's coming back to judge how we've done that job. It ought to cause us to hunger and thirst after God even more. You see, if we really believe that Christ is going to come in our lifetime, or even if we believe that he might come in the next moment, really, if we believe his coming was imminent, he could come at any time, it would cause us to be alert and aware about how we're living and what we're doing. Amen. I believe it calls us to hunger to be ready. I believe it calls us to thirst, to be holy and to be pure when he shows up. Amen. And it calls us to have a desire to do something for God. Amen. This watching for the prediction of Christ's return will cause us to reject the appetites of the world and the flesh and the devil. Brother Milby sings a song. We play it on our radio sometimes. It says, talks about the world. He says, I could care less if I could buy it all with a solitary dime. For what good would a world do me with leaving on my mind? Amen. The things of this world don't seem near as important when we think about the fact Jesus is coming. The things of this world don't seem near as appetizing, as appealing when we realize Jesus is coming. If we'll watch for God, I believe it'll encourage and strengthen our appetite. Let's stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed, as they come with a song. We have a moment of invitation. If the Lord's speaking to you, I want you just to obey him. If he's calling you, I want you to run to him. If he's calling you for salvation or for service, surrender, run to Jesus. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the word of God. Thank you, Lord, for helping us with these simple thoughts. Father, I pray that you would guide and direct now in these moments to come, or to help us to surrender our heart to thee. Help us, Lord, to work on this thing about hungering after thee. Help us to worship like we should. Help us to get in the word like we should. Help us to be about your work as we should. And help us to watch. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. While we sing and wait on the Lord, if the Lord spoke to you, would you just obey the Lord and do whatever he says do while we sing?
And that's all the time we have for today's broadcast. Hope you'll tune in this same time every Monday through Friday for another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. Until then, this is Pastor Farrell Shepherd saying good day and God bless you.